Woo! It's the spooky episode for Halloween. And guys, have you ever read the Goosebumps books?
No.
Nah, for me it's a no, but I remember as a child, I can't remember what the TV program was, but they do, not TV program, the TV channel rather, but they do like the clips of like the Goosebumps.
The
live actions.
Yeah, the live action show. I watched that because I always remember the theme park episode. I don't know what the actual book.
Oh, that one is called One Day at Hoverland.
Yeah, I think I remember that. I remember that episode, but other than that, I don't really remember much.
Okay. Well, I brought this up because I didn't know where the hell else to crowbar this in for Halloween, but it seemed like a cold opener is a good place to do it. So I have been live reading the Goosebumps books on my channel, as some of you may know. And I did one last week, and I was just thinking to myself, I really used to really like these books when I was younger. But I tell you what, reading them as an adult, one, there's so many double entendres and stuff that you read as being slightly rude. And I swear the books know it, because they like repeat and double down on it. There's like plenty of words like tossing, pulling, and so on. But the biggest thing that stood out to me in most of these books is most of the endings are fucking dreadful. Like, really bad, and they, like, come the hell out of nowhere. Like, the books are normally about 120 pages or so each, and within, like, the last 5 pages of every book, it doesn't seem like they're getting anywhere near a conclusion until you look at it and go, yeah, there's, like, literally, like, 5 pages left. Is this going to wrap up? And it feels like they're so ham-fisted, like, right at the last minute. The one I just read was A Shocker on Shock Street, which I seem to remember being quite a good one, where it's kind of like set on like an amusement park ride. And I'm sorry, but I'm gonna have to spoil a over 20 year old children's book, so I hope everyone's okay with that.
Go ahead.
The twist at the end is you got two kids like trying out all these rides, and there's all the spooky stuff happening, and they're trying to find an explanation for it. The penultimate chapter, they like find a director and they say, oh, they were filming the whole thing all along because they wanted like a realistic like take on it all. But it turns out the director and that were robots. So like, oh no.
Right.
You've not mentioned robots at all. But then, the double twist at the end, turns out the two kids we've been following the entire time, they were robots. And then it takes a twist of, like, the parents. Yeah, it takes a twist of the parents, like, oh, they've malfunctioned, and they're no good. And that's the end. It's like, you've not once mentioned robots this entire goddamn story. And then you just went, yeah, robots, mate.
I find it quite often in like a lot of just random, you know, films or books or whatever, where they feel like they're rushed. They do seem to have like some of the most janky endings like I've ever seen in my life.
They do. But here's the kicker for this book in particular. Is the whole thing's meant to be about testing a ride, like all the spooky stuff, to like see how good it was. But they seem to be resting on the fact that they have created robots with sentience because they act like children. They've got character quirks. They like know what comedy and timing and teasing is. They've made like proper AI children. Why is this not the money spinner? This should be the plot, not the goddamn frame art, right? I know that's not spooky, but it feels like a bit of a missed opportunity. And I want more realism in my nearly 20, 30-year-old children's horror books.
So when you were as a child, obviously, if you grew up with the books, what one do you remember as being the most genuinely horrifying as a child?
None of them. But I do like reading them.
When you think of like a horror book, I still remember reading Lord Lost by Darren Shannon. The beginning of that scared the shit out of me as a young teenager.
That's one thing I've never quite understood. It's like, how do you get scared by a book?
Well, like, it's the imagery, and they're trying to get you to use your imaginations, so like scare yourself. You'll notice with Goosebumps, every single book, the very first chapter always ends in a sort of like cliffhanger, like, oh, there was like rattling coming from the cupboards, or they could hear screaming from just round the corner. And it is 100% without fail their best friend or little brother or something just being a little shit.
Yes, it's that Goosebumps clickbait.
Yeah, but it's in like every book. It's like, and I'm pretty sure if like you could write a Goosebumps book now, despite reading a couple of them, going, yeah, I think I get the gist now.
Oh yeah, just ChatGPT to, there you go, boom.
Yeah, we got the skeletal structure of it. We know I could write Goosebumps. I'm not going to knock Goosebumps because obviously they're a cultural milestone and people love them. I'd say once you get to near a 40, they don't quite hold up to all the scrutiny you may have as a jaded adult, is all I'm saying.
I suppose seeing as we're doing a spooky theme, I guess one of the truly terrifying things is aging.
I was just about to say the same. Ooh, welcome to the Halloween, everyone.
You know what else is scary? I watched a YouTube video that came out on the weekend by Super Eye Patch Wolf. It was called The Simpsons is Actually Good Again.
I saw that one.
What's terrifying about it?
Well, The Simpsons has been shit for like 25 years. After the golden age of Simpsons, it's been in a zombie state.
Is it actually good, or is it just clickbait?
I haven't watched the episodes, but it sounds like it's actually good.
Oh. Yeah, there's another YouTuber by the name of LS Mark who did a similar kind of video, only like a couple of days before the Eye Patch Wolf one came out, saying pretty much the same thing.
Mm.
It's like, yeah, the new ones are... watch them. He's like, yeah, the new ones are... they're not like stellar, but they're actually, you know, funny.
They're different. They're like, what it's when you think of what is The Simpsons in 2023? Well, this is what you'd expect. What is The Simpsons after like 30 years? Well, this is what it is.
All right. To tie it back to Halloween very quickly, to end this cold dome there.
Yep.
Which one of all The Simpsons Halloween Treehouse of Horror is the best one?
I don't know. I really want to watch the latest one because that's the one with the anime episode. I don't know. I always remember the one with Groundskeeper Willie.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, I've literally blanked out my fucking... And which is the one where Homer goes into like the alternative world.
The only one I can remember is the Jerry Springer one.
That's not a Halloween
that's
episode.
That's not a Halloween one. It is a Halloween one.
Is it?
It's literally the only one I can remember is the Jerry Springer one with the aliens.
Oh, that one.
It's got the Hell to Pay short on it as well. Get snake's hair on his head. Well, my favourite one is the... but it's the one with the Killer Krusty the Clown doll.
Yes, yes.
Which has also got the King Homer section, that the King Kong parody, and the Dial Zev the Zombies one.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
They're all fantastic segments, and that's my favourite. I think that'll do it for a cold opener. Let's get into the meat of the episode, shall we?
Welcome to Victory Achieved Podcast, a video game podcast. I am Dan, and I'm with a scary man called Brandon.
Fucking hell, I'm terrified.
And a very spooktacular man named Chris.
Woo, etc. Act scared.
Yeah, I'm scared.
I just pooped a bit a little. I guess before we go into some of the spooky stuff, which I am bringing... Actually, I was about to say I'm bringing nothing. I am bringing one thing, but... Ahsoka ended, like, probably by the time this is out, a month ago. But it was, like, 2 weeks ago of time recording or something like that. What did you think, Chris?
I think it was a Star Wars. Also, it had witches on, so it totally counts as Halloween.
Yeah.
Right, so Ahsoka, well, bear in mind, again, I have not watched Rebels, I have not watched Clone Wars, or anything like that. I thought it was okay. I quite like the series overall, but the series did a thing which they tend to do where it feels very cliffhanger-y, and like, I thought this was going to wrap up, but no, not really. They leave quite a few plob threats dangling. I do like a fair few of it. Like they've got like zombie stormtroopers in it, which I thought was pretty neat. That's like something I've not seen in Star Wars before. I'm sure it's in the extended universe, but
no,
I've not seen it before.
Not really.
Because I know you were saying it was really good, but I thought it was decent, but not like mind-blowingly good.
Oh no, I think the last episode was, for me, was perfect. But I definitely thought the second half was stronger than the first half. I think the first half really struggled. Those first four episodes, I found the evil side were the good bits, and the good side, some of that acting was really mediocre. And then from episode 5 onwards, everyone seemed to somehow slide into the actual characters they were actually playing.
Yeah, I did think the dark side villains, the Ray Stevenson character and his apprentice, were kind of like pushed to one side during the final episode.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, what? I was fully expecting them to turn their backs on like the witches and Emperor Thrawn and go, I think We are bad, but you guys seem to be worse. So I think we're going to side with Ahsoka. I was fully expecting that to happen.
Well, I feel like Baylan Skoll, Ray Stevenson's character, clearly there's more to him going forward, but because of Ray Stevenson's death, sadly, I'm not sure how they're going to go forward with that, but it's clear that his character is meant to reappear later down the line. I think a season 2 has been confirmed for Ahsoka. Coming into Ahsoka, I was like, as long as Thrawn escapes and he lives, I'm happy. And that happened. And so that's why I'm like, the ending was perfect for me. I don't care that a whole lot of the characters are, as you say, a bit cliffhangery. The main thing I wanted was to, for someone like you, Chris, who hasn't experienced Rebels, or I wanted people to see how great Thrawn is as a villain, and I think that was shown first and foremost in live action in Ahsoka.
I think it would have benefited more if Emperor Thrawn like came in like an episode or two earlier, because it's like getting to like episode 6, it's like, where is he?
I think if you'd watch Rebels, no, but I think not watching it and not really knowing the character, I can see why you say that, and I get it. I think I said this before it was out, like, the big problem with Ahsoka is it's very much tied to Rebels and Clone Wars, and that's a good thing and a bad thing, and even after it's done, now we've had the whole season, that's still one of its problems, is it still tied to those. Like, when I had a thought about, oh, where would I rank it over in regards to the Disney Plus Star Wars shows? And, like, I still think Andor is the best, and the first two seasons of Mando are better. But then I'd probably say Ahsoka.
So everything's your favourite.
What?
You're saying which one's the best, I was like, I said pretty much everything.
No, Book of Boba Fett and Obi-Wan and Mando Season 3 are not as good as Ahsoka.
I quite enjoyed Mando Season 3.
Oh no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Mando Season 3, but I don't think it's better than Ahsoka.
That last episode of Mando Series 3 was phenomenal. Like, one of the best episodes of any of the Star Wars series has been, in my humble opinion.
But in my opinion, I thought the Ahsoka finale was better. But, you know, this is the thing. And I said, we said it on the podcast, opinions are opinions. We, you know, there's no right opinion. It's just what we think. It's what, you know, and that's what's great about this podcast. And many people you meet is you get to see different sides of media that you like and also don't like.
Yep, I love meeting new people and telling them they're wrong. Fantastic.
You like My Little Pony? Well, let me put a turd on that.
Why did you jump to My Little Pony?
I don't know. It just jumped into my head.
I've never mentioned it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Dan's a secret brony, everyone.
Fuck off.
That's the terrifying revelation of this Halloween episode. That's the Goosebumps twist, that is. I'm a brony all along. We've made no mention of brony. Don't care.
Fuck off. Nah, like I said, I think the acting was far better in the last 4 episodes than the first. Especially Ahsoka felt like Ahsoka from in the last half. But no, I enjoyed it. I think the first 4 episodes definitely hindered it, in my opinion.
Just 4. The first episode had Clancy Brown in it, and then he just fucks off. You never see him again. He's the one that's like, oh, ready to give out a speech, and he's like, waiting for her to come back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think I mentioned this when we first mentioned Ahsoka. He plays one of the characters in. He plays that same character in Rebels.
Yeah. I just thought, oh, you got Clancy Brown. I thought he'd be more of a staple, because, you know, he's quite famous.
He just never
appears again.
It's just a cameo.
Because that's one of the things that even my parents like raise an eyebrow, because they know Clancy Brown as the Kurgan from Highlander. Mm. So anytime he's on the screen, he's like, oh, yeah, Clancy Brown. We're invested. And it was like, when the ending, my dad was like, when the ending, my dad was like, where's Clancy Brown gone? Come back.
No, it was a good season. Rocky start, great end, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's on the higher tier of Star Wars shows.
Yeah. But
Well, since we're on about TV series, Dan, would you like to quickly go over Castlevania Nocturne?
Sure, I don't know how much I've got to say about this, but Castlevania Nocturne came out, I don't know, probably like a month ago now. Well, I think we had Adrian on, so I wasn't going to talk about it then, and I was going to wait till these two watched it, but Chris, you don't have Netflix, and Brandon, I don't know.
I'm just behind on everything.
Yeah. I don't even think you finished season four of Castlevania.
I've watched Castlevania, I just can't remember what's happened in it.
Yeah,
there's a vampire in it.
Yeah, well, that's still a thing in Nocturne. There's still vampires. Nocturne is about Richter Belmont, who, if you know nothing about Castlevania, he's the other Castlevania character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
He's also the one at the beginning of Symphony of the Night that goes, "Die, monster, you don't belong in this world." And he's in Bloodlines as well.
Yeah, it looks as good as the first four seasons did. I can't really knock the animation. Story-wise, yeah, it's good. It's more Castlevania. You're going to get a good old dose, lollop of vampire killing with magic and whips, and there's some really good character moments with a lot of the new characters, and I found that quite compelling. Other than that, if you've watched the first four seasons of Castlevania, you're going to watch this, and you know what you're going to get, so I don't really know what more to say. It was good fun.
I don't know how well you know the scores from the games, but do you know if they've got like any more orchestral bits, like music from the games?
Sadly, the only thing is like the main theme. That's the only thing I know. Not main theme. Vampire Killer. Okay. That's the only one I remember. Other than that, I've never played Castlevania, so I don't know.
Get on it, Dan.
I know. But, you know, it was another short and sweet. I say short. It was still like 8 episodes or something. But it was a nice series to binge through. Yeah, it was good. Mm. And the end got me going, like, literally out loud saying, talking to my screen going, saying something. And I messaged my mate and he was like, "Yeah, Castlevania has all this weird shit." I was like, right, okay. Well, I've never played Castlevania, so I don't know. But it definitely made me loudly say something out loud.
Yeah, to elaborate, or is that all hush hush?
That's a spoiler. It's a big spoiler.
Oh, okay. Like, never mind then.
Yeah, I'm not going to go, "It has..." But I was like, what the fuck? As someone who knows nothing about Castlevania, I was like, what? So, yeah. But it was good. I definitely think this Nocturne did have a bit of a... Thinking about it, does have a bit of a JoJo's vibe in terms of, I think it's more its setting with like early JoJo's, not in terms of like what's it, the tone of the tones are completely different, but I think just because the early part one and part two of JoJo's has a lot of vampire stuff, it's just it's just more just that really. But
Richter's Bizarre Adventure.
Yes. No, it was really good. That's good.
Awesome.
Yeah. You all been watching any more spooky stuff? Because I certainly have, for a change.
I haven't. I've hardly watched... like I said, Castlevania was the only thing.
Oh, I've got two things that are new.
Oh.
So do you want me to start on them first? Or would you like to go first, Brendan?
Well, we can alternate. I can say one, you say another, then we go back.
Go on, I've spoken a fair bit. You go first.
So I'm mainly going to bring this up because I'm pretty certain you've mentioned it before, but I can't remember. And so yesterday I went to a science festival in Oxford where I was doing like, we basically did like an escape room for kids based on like sciencey bits, which is really, really fun. And by the time I got home, it was like, you know, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I was like, oh, I've got work tomorrow. There's really like quick horror films on Netflix I can watch to get me prepared for today's recording. And the first one that came up was Brightburn, and I probably have the same opinion as what a lot of people have about Brightburn, is the fact that it's an interesting concept, but did get really weird at the end. So in case we have spoke about it before, but viewers can't remember. So Brightburn is essentially if Superman went bad from as a teenager, basically. So young lad called Brandon Byers is a kid who was found in basically a farmyard on a spaceship, like a spaceship crash landed. family found a baby and grew up and sort of brought this baby up. Comes to about like 12, 13 years old, starts going through the change and starts to become essentially evil. And it's just him basically just terrorizing the whole city of Brightburn, Kansas. The bit which I know it's meant to be like a take of like if Superman went evil, but I don't know what it is. But when you've got this like horror overall vibe and then all of a sudden they start busting up the laser eyes, I'm just like, oh, I just can't be arsed. I don't know what it is about the laser eyes. It's just obviously we've got the gimmick of him having like superhuman set, like superhuman strength, being really fast and just that creepy sort of possession-y vibe. But then when the lasers start coming out the eyes, I was just like, oh, like it, my rating for it just dropped. Even though it's a Superman quirk, it did put me off slightly. And then the ending was just, yeah, like you just see him, it's like left it open for interpretation that's still going to be going on, but it doesn't.
No, it does end very abruptly, doesn't it?
It ends very abruptly. Like you feel like it's going to have the climax of, oh, is Brandon Breyer's going to die? And no, he just kills everyone basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
But so, yeah, so it's meant to be like a horror superhero film, but I wouldn't say it's not exactly scary. It's gruesome at that, like with certain scenes, like, you know, the car scene, that was quite gruesome, and the glass in the eyes. But apart from that, it was quite tame overall. What do you think of it, Chris?
Well, it's been a little while since I've seen it. I think a good couple of years. I was trying to cast my mind back because I think I may have mentioned it on the podcast before.
Yeah, I can't remember if you have. I was really
thinking back, but I can't remember if I did or not. But it was fine, like, overall. Some of the deaths in it are pretty gruesome and a little creative, if that's your bag. The actual plot itself, it's just like, well, what if Superman was a little shit and was evil? But they never really elaborate more on it. It's kind of like, yeah, he's getting these signals telling him to, like, you know, wipe out the Earth, but it never really, like, goes into any more depth. So it's just like, yeah, he's a very naughty boy, is essentially. Yeah, I'd say it's not a bad film, but I'd say it's like, watch once, and that's it, really.
Yeah, watch once and be like, oh, okay, film done, next.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Chris, what have you seen then before we come back to me?
Well, if we're going on to films, I have very recently seen the new Saw X film that's come out.
Did you not see a Saw Patrol?
I did not. I'm angry now.
What? What do you mean?
I didn't even finish that. My sentence, I was like, yeah. I just casually swear under my breath. Right. Yes, Saw X. Right. How well versed are you guys on the Saw franchise?
My knowledge.
Well, I've seen films.
My knowledge of Saw is that Jigsaw is the puppet, and I really like the ride at Fort Park.
Well, you're wrong about Jigsaw being the puppet, because the puppet's called Billy.
Oh.
Billy?
See, I don't know shit.
All right, okay then. So, Saw X, it's kind of like a standalone film-ish. It takes place between Saw 1 and Saw 2.
Right.
But the whole thing is not quite a prequel. But it's there's a whole, like, there's a big character study on the character of Jigsaw himself, like, played by Tobin Bell, who does some really good acting in this. It's really hard to talk about this film and dance around it without spoiling literally everything because of the nature of it. But in a nutshell, it's showing him as a cancer patient. He gets told about this doctor who can supposedly cure his cancer. So he flies out, gets the treatment, and I can't really say anything else. Just rest assured, it's got your traps in it. It's got another character in who's from the first few Saw films as well. People might know as Amanda, but I don't think that's a surprise to anyone that she's in it. Honestly, if you'd like the other Saw films, you'll like this one. This is definitely in my top three.
Are you sure? I thought Spiral was your favourite.
We don't talk about Spiral anymore. Yeah, if people remember like from last year, was it last year or the year before?
Christ, whenever you spoke about Spiral,
it was my worst film of the year. It was my worst film of the year. I hated it. But no, this is far, far, far better. There are the nods to, like, the later films, because that's my one thing about Saw, is I actually like it for the plot, like the torture things that's here and there, but because it's like an ongoing, like, police investigation, it's all about the character of Jigsaw. The later films get a bit more muddled because it's like half what's going on, half flashback. That's why I keep bringing in Tobin Bell. But this one's purely self-contained. There's like no flashbacks or anything. It's all in the same time frame, as I say, between 1 and 2. And it's it's really well focused. I can't offhand think of any plot holes that may have arisen, which, again, the later Saw films seem to fall into that trap. Saw trap. If I have one negative, is I think the ending twist, as it were, was a bit predictable. I was like, yeah, kind of saw that coming. But watching it in the cinema, I did feel a few goosebumps when the actual Saw film theme kicked in. If you know the music, it's like, oh, this is really epic, actually. It's been ages since I've wanted to see this, but yeah, I really did like this film. I'd say it's the best horror film I've seen this year, probably because it's like the only horror film I've seen this year. I think off the top of my head that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, I don't actually think... carry on, sorry.
Yeah, actually, well, the next thing I was talking about, I want to say it's strictly a horror thing, but yeah, kind of. Depends how you look at it. But no, Saw X does get my recommendation, and if you like the Saw franchise, you'll like this one. Don't let anyone put you off it. Honestly, it's top three. It's well acted. The plot's good. Yeah, as far as horror films go, it's one of the better ones.
What I was going to say was, I think like the latest Insidious film didn't do that well.
See, that's a big thing about horror franchises, is like the more you explain about it, especially if it's like supernatural, the less scary it gets, because it's all fear of the unknown and what you don't know. But something like Saw, where it's just, you know, an actual person and it explains a bit more, it kind of makes you appreciate a bit more, because he tried to make, like, the newest one, like, tries to make you see things from Jigsaw's perspective that little bit more. Although, let's not mince words, he is the villain. He's trying to make people's lives better, but yeah, I'm sure there's better ways he could go about it. join a knitting group or something.
do a video game podcast, there you go.
Yeah, there you go, Jigsaw. Yeah. I mean, it's a bit late for him, but...
yeah. Jigsaw achieved.
I want to play a game.
You achieve death and destruction.
I want to play a game. You must listen to this 90-minute podcast without moving or going to the toilet. Garner, next thing.
Yeah, so I've been on one. Usually I'm either doing nothing or anime or games, but I've actually seen another film. That's right. I've actually seen two films in 2 weeks. Like, I need to slow down, Captain. I saw another film called Annihilation.
You know what?
You guys, it's called Annihilation.
You know this film? Yeah. I listened to another podcast, and the amount of times they brought up this film is like, it's one of these films that I feel like I need to watch it just because this other podcast brings it up. But carry on. Well, here's the question. Is this a good film?
Again, likewise with... Black, I want to call it Blackburn, but it's not, because that's the city in the UK. Brightburn. Yeah, likewise with Brightburn. The concept of it was very, very interesting. The ending was a bit weird.
Who's in this film?
I'm not very, very good at recalling actors, but there is a famous female actor in it.
Is it the one with, I can picture her, but I've literally forgotten her fucking name. Who plays Lois Lane?
It's Natalie Portman, Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, Natalie Portman, that's it.
Or Tessa Thompson's in it. Jennifer Jason Leigh on like the top build.
Yeah. So the concept of Annihilation is there was a lighthouse somewhere in America that got struck by some sort of astronomical anomaly, crash landed on a lighthouse, and basically started to do what's called form this area called the shimmer, which, you know, like as you look through, you know, like if you're driving on a road and when oil from a car goes onto the like, sort of surface water of roads, and it makes that sort of like reflected light.
Yeah.
So essentially what is happening is it's making this sort of that same sort of like coloration in a gradually expanding area. And that's what's called the shimmer. So within the shimmer, what is happening is the genetic makeup of everything within the shimmer is basically getting refracted and mixing with each other. So say, for example, if you had, I don't know, like a red flower and like a blue flower sort of like on opposite sides of the shimmer, both of them will then start to turn into a purple flower because their genetic makeup is basically getting sort of scrambled, essentially. And the whole premise of this is that the military are sending in groups to get to the center of the shimmer where the lighthouse is and try and find out what exactly is the shimmer. And they send in like a team of female scientists. So you've got a biologist, a physicist, a psychologist, and I can't remember what the other ones are. They go in and, you know, try and steadily go through and reach the center of the shimmer. You know, as they go through, each and every, they start to like die off in different ways. So either one might get attacked by some sort of bear anomaly, or one turns into a tree. You know, it's probably spoilers, but there's just, you know, turning into a tree because their genetic makeup is getting scrambled with like the plant wildlife or whatever. And then the main character, played by Natalie Portman, goes to the center of where the Shimmer is and finds where this anomaly has crash landed, and it essentially turns into like some sort of like Morpheus looking thing, which is basically copying her actions. And it's basically, it's what it's almost like is some sort of alien has crash landed, and rather than seeking like the destruction of the world, it's essentially wanting to understand what's going on, like what is DNA, what is all this. It's basically just playing with it and seeing what's happening, but it's having like a wider area of influence. So yes, so overall, the concept of like the scrambling of the genetic makeup and some of the creatures that you see in it and the actual like biodiversity of it is a very, very cool concept. But I just found it weird that, you know how everyone jokes in like films, games, whatever, is like, oh, the ending, it was all aliens all along. That's what the ending of Annihilation felt like to me. Yeah, it's got a bit of a psychological aspect to it because the ending's quite interesting because it again leaves open doors for, okay, what exactly has happened here? But yeah, a lot of people say Annihilation could turn into like a cult classic in what it has done. But yeah, I do recommend Annihilation if you just want like a no-brainer, quick action horror film. It's not really a horror, it's more of a psychological fun show, I guess. But yeah, recommend it. I don't know what the other podcasts have said about it, Dan. Would you like to elaborate?
I don't know. I can't. I think like two of them are just very. It's one of those films that they just keep on. They always think about, and that's what mainly what they were saying. The film that I was thinking of when you mentioned Annihilation, but then I realised it was a different film, and I was trying to remember who was in it. Was Arrival. That's the one with Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner in.
Hmm.
I've not seen Arrival, but that's the. I've not seen that either, but that's the film I was. The other film I was thinking about, which is another weird sci-fi film, probably a little bit like Annihilation. I don't know. I've not watched either of them, so I can't. I have no leg to stand on here. I'm just spewing shite. But, you know.
I would say overall, if you just want a nice, easy watch with just interesting things are happening. Like I said, overall, the film is genuinely interesting. But some of the execution and just the storytelling could be a bit better. Like it leaves quite a few mysteries in what's going on. And then some bits of like some things you watch and you're just like, okay, did I like they tease you with some bits, but you don't actually get to see the end product. And you're like, well, you teased me with what's just happening. Like, why can't you just show me what's happened rather than just leave it open to interpretation? Because if it's meant to be like some sort of horror film, you at least want to see what's happened, basically, because we've just gone through like a whole shitty blood and gore, like of people's like jaws getting ripped off.
Yeah.
So why can't you just show me this next thing of this next death? Like, why? Yeah, I don't know. That sort of riled me a little bit because I even replayed it like a couple times. I was just like, did I miss it? Like, I didn't see anything happen. Yeah, but yeah, I do recommend Annihilation.
I don't know. What about your next thing, Chris? Chris?
Chris? Oh, sorry, I have my mic on mute. I was typing away in the background trying to get the PNG thing done. Yeah, I was gonna say I seen like Annihilation sometime back when it first came out, and it does do quite a lot of good body horror. As Brandon says, the concept was okay, but I felt it lacked quite a bit. A lot of people were like singing its praises when it came out, and I watched it and I thought it was completely overblown. It's like, yeah, it's got some like unsettling imagery. It does like a sort of Invasion of the Body Snatchers thing at the end, but it's like the ending's trying to be cleverer than it thinks it is.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah. So again, just like Brightburn, I guess, same kind of deal. Give it a watch once and then, yeah.
Yeah, that's literally what I can say. I don't understand how people can call it like a classic and keep going back to it. Like, I feel happy that I've seen it, but it's not something I'd necessarily want to keep revisiting. Like The Mummy. I'll happily keep watching The Mummy.
Oh, yeah.
Good old Brendan Fraser.
Yay. So, the next thing I watched... by the way, guys, if you're wondering about video games, don't worry, I've got you covered. I've got one coming up soon.
Don't worry, I've got...
not mention any.
Don't worry, I've got two video games to... one to quickly mention, and then one I need a little update, but I've spoken about it before, so I don't need to dwell on it too much. So.
All right. So the last thing I watched, I'm playing a bit fast and loose with the horror rules here, but I think it totally counts because it's completely unsettling and is the subject matter is horrific. So I don't normally do this, but trigger warning, because this is based on real life.
Okay, interesting.
So you may have seen they've been doing episodes weekly on iPlayer, on the BBC, but it's all out on iPlayer. They did it, release it in one go. Now, I'm sure you're both familiar with the actor of Steve Coogan.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Well, you know Steve Coogan.
No, I am terrible when it comes to like events and stuff.
He's in
everything now.
Yeah.
He plays Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
You know, oh, okay. Partridge.
Yeah, you know Steve.
I know he plays Alan Partridge, but I don't know what controversy is.
Yeah. Well, he's a bit of a character actor.
Yeah.
He as before this series came out, he was saying, "Yeah, this might be career suicide because the series he has just done is called The Reckoning, and in it he plays everybody's least favorite disc jockey, Jimmy Savile."
Oh, wow.
Yes, you can see why this is horror related now. I don't think
that's
I need to
know. That's a very brave thing to do.
It is very brave. So everyone's commending Steve Coogan a minute for having the balls to do it, because it's like asking someone to play Hitler, and he's like, nope, not that. But he thought he could do it well, and fair play to him, he does. If there's anything that's really good about this series, his acting is sublime.
It's Steve Coogan, man.
Yeah, I just wish it was a happier series. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a good series, but people have been saying, and I do wonder about it myself, what's it really adding? Because it's telling you, like, what horrific things happened. I don't want to go into detail about it. Honestly, the less you know, the better. Right, so what they've done with this series, to give it even more realism, for the first time, to my knowledge, they've got the real victims of him to act as, like, talking heads, as, like, the beginning and the end of, like, each episode. Like, just give a little snippet. Because it's, like, so it just, like, gives you a bit of context of what's going to happen, like, in the next episode. Like, shows the actual victim and then, like, the sort of dramatized version. But as far as I can tell, they've done it quite realistic to how it happened. Like, they've gone out of the way to do so. They do, like, stipulate at the beginning of each episode, like, a couple of names have been changed and a few tweaks have been made to make it more for telly, but bar that, it's pretty much exactly how it happened. Which, yeah, fair play to the writers and Steve Coogan for doing that. But again, you've got the argument, kind of like Monster or any of these, like, serial killer type deals. It's like, do we really want to be reviving these people? Like, it's I suppose, like, information is good for people to know, but at the same time, do we really want to relive these traumatic events? It's like, yeah, should we just, like, forget it, put it to bed, just let's never speak of it again, like, deal. But as stated, Steve Coogan does a fantastic job in it, and as I say, he thought it would be career suicide, but as far as I can tell, everyone's been singing his praises for how good a job he's done. But again, was it really necessary? I enjoyed it. I don't know if enjoy is the right term to use. It was a good series to watch, and I do recommend it, but it is not a comfortable watch in any way, shape or form.
I bet.
Yeah, so horror films are one thing, like, but real life stuff is so much worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I will watch that personally.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm of the opinion, like, I'm of all four documentaries, like, people need to be, in my opinion, they need to be aware of some of the atrocities that have happened, because in some scenarios, education is the best form of prevention, because shows you what not to do and the consequences of what said actions can do.
If you want to watch The Reckoning, do that, I guess. If you don't, don't.
I think it's a series that's more geared towards the older generation, especially if you, like, grew up with it.
Yeah.
And you already know what he did and see what a bastard it. Otherwise, I don't think it's telling you anything new that you wouldn't have already known about. It's not a nice watch.
No. Do we have any more horror stuff?
I've got one more horror game.
Oh, yes, you do. Ooh. Yes, yes.
Ooh. Okay. So, let's lighten up the mood a little bit.
I'd say that's a bit of a light shift.
Yeah. I've been too positive about things today. So let's be really fucking negative. Let's get back into my wheelhouse.
You're too grumpy old man hat.
Yes. Where is my grumpy old man hat? I've got one sucking around somewhere. Anyway, right. So, as of today, so it's very fresh in my mind, I've beaten, for the first time, the Callisto Protocol.
Ooh.
Ooh. Are you guys familiar with this game at all?
All I know is it's a clone of Dead Space and isn't as good.
Wow. I don't know about clone because it is, like, by the same developers.
Oh, is it?
Like the people that made it. Yeah, it's by the same people that made it. It's not exactly the same studios, but it's, like, the same game director.
Okay. Well, that would make a lot of sense then, if it looks very similar.
Yeah, it does. So, this game wishes it was half as good as Dead Space.
Well...
Right. So, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Dead Space. Third-person shooter, kind of like Resident Evil 4. One of my favourite games ever.
You spoke about the remake earlier this year and how good it was.
Yeah, it's fucking top game. Seriously, play those games. Don't, however, play this one. This was rough. Oh, I'll give it a few good points. It looks nice. No, that's it. I've got one good point. So the game wants to like play similarly to like Dead Space, so over the shoulder camera. Where it deviates though is pretty much everything else, because it tried to take everything from Dead Space and make them bad.
So, oh dear.
Where do I start? Right, most obvious one I suppose is the combat. There's a heavy emphasis on melee, apart from near the end of the game. But I'll get onto that. And melee is really fucking weird. Essentially, what it boils down to, well, someone described it as Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and that's possibly the easiest thing I can compare it to, because it's quite apt. So combat boils down to mash L2 like your life depends on it. R2. And then just hit left or right on the analog stick to dodge enemy attacks. That's it. It's really, really weird, because it's like when you get engaged with like an enemy, you sort of like snap into place. Like you don't control your character as much. It's like engaged in combat. So you can almost see like the quick time events buttons pop up. But and here's the thing, it don't work properly half the time.
Why?
One, it's near damn impossible to tell where we should dodge left or right, and I was just like doing it randomly, because when an enemy swings at you and it's like coming from the middle, which way do you go? I don't think it really matters which way you dodge, but essentially if the enemy does like a follow-up attack, so long as you press like the opposite direction, it kind of works, except when the enemy decides to do a grab attack, which you can do seemingly nothing about as far as I can tell, because it's not a swing, and the hit detection doesn't work, especially if you're on stairs or any type of slopes, and then the game just gets very confused and doesn't know what to do, because it's like trying to snap to the enemy, and it does that thing like, you know, when you're like in automated combats in other games and your character seemingly teleports about 3 feet towards the enemy and backwards behind you, and the camera just has a field day trying to keep up. That happens a lot. And if you're on a slope or an incline, it's like you snap to the enemy and like trying to do the melee attack, except it's not hitting it because the enemy's not there. But when it works, it's okay, but it doesn't seem to work half the time. It's just incredibly broken. There are guns in it as well. None of them feel like they've got any heft behind them. Gun damage seems to range from, oh, they kill it in like 2 hits to, oh, you've hit it with a shotgun about 8 times and it's still coming at you. So it's got a weapon upgrade system akin to like a Dead Space, where you spend like credits to upgrade it. But there's no choice to make, really. Everything has like a sort of skill tree with a couple of offshoots, but you have no choice but to pick the one that's like adjacent to it. So it's like, oh, I want that, and I'd want that. I don't want like the magazine upgrade. It's like, no, you ain't got a choice. You've just got to have the magazine upgrade before you can have the damage boost. That's your lot. But the game's also incredibly stingy with the shops as well. They become more numerous towards the end of the game, but at the beginning, it's a major problem. In fact, inventory is a major problem the entire time, because the game only gives you 6 inventory slots. And I tell you what, nowhere near enough. I can't physically see how you could like pick up like everything, because there's like essentially, I also call them treasures, because there's stuff that you just pick up just to sell. But there aren't any fucking shops around. And you can't backtrack for the most part. Once you like move onto an area, it's like the previous areas is completely cut off, because this game is like aggressively linear. There's one or two offshoots, but I literally do mean like one or two offshoots. I've heard all the secret rooms in this. There are. There's two. And they're not hard to find. Yeah. I found them without even trying. It's just like the game is like, there's a thing quite often. It's like, oh, do I go left or right? Half the time, one is just progress and the other one is just like a short hop, skip, and a jump. But the thing is, you don't know which way is which. And if you pick the one that happens to be progress, sucks to be you. You ain't checking out the other way. That's that. And because you can only pick up so little stuff, unlike Resident Evil, like, you know how like ammo stacks, like you can have like a load of ammo in one slot, or treasures stack, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Not in this game. Everything is individual. So you can have like 12 handgun bullets, that's your lot, that's a stack. Stuff to recharge your energy, which is like the stasis packs in Dead Space, which, you know, used to stack in like piles of three. Nope, they're all individuals. But at least in Dead Space, you had like 25 item slots. You've got six. So the first half of the game, I had way too many healing items to the point I was selling them just to get rid of them and clear up inventory space. Because the game also does a thing where enemies sometimes drop health, but not like the health that you use in your inventory. It's just like insta-heal. And if you've got full health, you can't pick it up. So it's almost like the game's punishing you for like, you know, being cautious. It's like, oh, it drops stuff, you can't have it. What's that? You just used your health injector. Well, the enemy just dropped health, which you can't pick up. Therefore, you've wasted it. Ah. Oh, man. This is a laundry list of stuff. Navigation. Half of it is just sliding through narrow cracks, going up elevators, crawling through air ducts. You know, essentially cosmetic loading screens. There's a fuck ton of it. Some YouTuber I watch did a video on this, literally highlighted like 5 minutes of footage unedited, and it is literally squeeze through a gap, enemy encounter, which is just a quick time event, and then it's just another gap after that, then another, exactly the same thing, like copied and pasted like three times. It's like, oh yeah, I went for that bit. So it's like you have no control. It's like this game's just playing itself now. All I'm doing is pressing forward on the analog stick. And the few times it does has combat encounters, which is, again, mostly melee focus, it don't work half the time. The game introduces like a blind enemy, like which you can like sneak up and stab on them. It says, oh, don't make any noise, don't make any noise. Yeah, I was literally like phasing through the other enemies like in the stabbing animation and like stomping on the enemies right next to them, and they're just completely unfazed. I think the game developers got a little bit carried away because they went, oh, okay, we're going to introduce this enemy type. Here's one, here's two, here's about 50 of the fucking things. enemy types, not like the variety is awful as well. There is a boss. Well, technically, there's two bosses. And when I say two bosses, what I mean is there's actually six bosses in the game. If you guess that one of them is the same boss four times and the other one was the same boss twice, have a biscuit.
Oh, gank bosses.
Damn it. Yeah. My biscuit's downstairs.
Oh, you're going to have to get them, I'm afraid.
Well, once we finish, I'll have my reward. Thank you, Chris, though. You're a good egg for rewarding me.
Yeah. And you think, oh, repeat boss fights. That's not normally too bad, so long as they're spread out. Yeah, no. Like, literally in, like, the last stream of, like, 3 hours, I got introduced to, like, the first boss in the game, like, 7 hours in for, like, a 9-hour playthrough. And then you fight the thing, like, four fucking times. Like, it's ridiculous. And it's the thing. It's not the same enemy. It is a different enemy, but it's treated as a boss fight four separate times. It's kind of like if the Regenerator or Nemesis kept popping up, but it's a different one, and they do nothing different. It's just the same fight again. Just shoot it, run away, kill it with melee.
Yeah.
Now do that four times.
Yeah.
It's not like it's got any narrative behind it. It's just like, oh, here's a random enemy. Oh, there it is again. Oh, there it is again. It's not like a plot thing, as I say, like Regenerator or something. Dead Space, the thing that keeps hunting you down, but then you finally finish off. And it feels like a sense of achievement. It's like, right, we've finally put the fucking thing down. No, it's just it feels horribly tacked on. It's like, either have a boss fight or just don't bother. It should have gone for the not bother thing, because the last boss in this game is awful. It just felt like a complete crapshoot. The first half is a piece of piss, because all you do is dodge, and he, like, backs off. It's kind of weird, his attack pattern. He, like, swings at you four times, so you dodge left, right, left, right. And then he sort of, like, backs off and taunts, and it's like, well, now I just shoot you, yeah? Yeah, that's exactly what you do. It seems like a very weird behavior for someone who wants to kill you. He's like, he even does like the whole waving hands towards himself thing. He's like, come on then. It's like, why did you stop swinging at me if you want to kill me and then back off so I can shoot you? And he keeps doing it. He's like, because that's how you win. It's so weird. And the last boss is just shoot it till it dies. Oh, if it catches up for you, it kills you instantly as well. So good luck with that. Oh, and in order to dodge, you've got to be facing towards it. But we put in a random exploding enemies that do massive damage to you, which means you've got to take your focus off the boss. So good luck with that. It's instantly killed you from behind because you were too busy shooting the things behind you. Yeah. It's not very good, this game. I didn't like it. Can you tell?
So, is your game of the year? No, I'm kidding.
I don't... Here's the thing. I don't hate it, because the few bits that do remind me of Dead Space, where it feels like... There's a couple of bits where the game feels like it's getting good. It's like it's on the cusp of, I think I might be enjoying this, which is pretty much like smack bang in the middle of the game. There's a bit where like you get through like this whole prison section, and then you like put on like a snow planet, and like suddenly your inventory is doubled to 12 slots. Oh, the game doesn't tell you you've got 12 slots. You just have 12 slots now. Which is nice. And then there's an instance where I was in a few combat encounters. The game's given me some ammo. I've got my pistol, my shotgun. And then for a bit, the game actually felt a bit more fun, a bit more like Dead Space. Yeah, that was a nice way it lasted. And then it kind of shits the bed again near the end of my just repeating boss fights. Oh, and one last mechanic. It has like the kinesis thing from Dead Space. You know, you can like pick up things and launch them. Yeah, that don't work after time. After time, you pick up things and then you just drop them for no reason. And when you do pick them up and launch them, you launched them about 2 feet, if that. There was an instance where I picked up an enemy and tried to put him on some spikes, which could have been no more than like 5 feet behind him. I had to pick him up 3 times for it to work, because he just sort of went backwards about an inch. It's like, are you taking the piss? Like, it's like they've seen all the nice things from Dead Space. It's like, oh, yeah, the Kinesis module, that was good, wasn't it? You could launch things at like Mach 3, like halfway across the room, and it was fantastic. I mean, pale things and anything. Yeah, what if we made it shit? That's pretty much this game. I've not played the DLC, but I'm told there is some. But I'm also informed it actually actively makes the game worse, because I think it brings up more plot holes, and the plot's not great as it is. It even made a little short on it saying, one of the very first characters you meet is like, yep, that's the baddie. Oh, yep. He's just acting like a prick from the very start. It's like, oh, yeah, that's the baddie, is it? Yeah, good. Is he the final boss? Oh, he is. Okay, got you. To no surprise of absolutely no one. Plot's not its strong suit at all. But yeah, Callisto Protocol, just play Dead Space again. Or Resident Evil 4, or literally any other game like that. Just pick one.
Oh, well. I'm sure you can play something else to wash out that bad taste out of your mouth.
Yeah, I'm going to play Dead Space again.
Even just watching you play Tormented Souls last night, I bet you were like, oh, this is so much better than Callisto Protocol.
It really was. I was going to say how good Tormented Souls was, but I did that last year on the Halloween ones.
Yeah, you always spoke about it.
Yeah, good game, that. Go play it. Yeah. It's a bit janky, and the character models are weird, but it's a good game. Gameplay's there. The gameplay's solid. That's what matters.
But Father, can't you see that men... That man with the strange hat is walking around the testing thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't see anything. And all you can hear is like this stomping boots. Clomp, clomp, clomp. It's like, I can't hear you.
I can't hear anything.
It's a man with a bucket on its head. Right?
Something I should have probably mentioned. It's not Halloween spooky or Halloween based. Something I should have mentioned probably at the start of the episode. This is a link to our last episode with Adrian's Revenge. You know how I mentioned that I wanted to get some more platinums? Well, I actually got a platinum trophy in between after our last episode. I got it for Ni No Kuni 2. I actually got the platinum. So
What made you choose Ni No Kuni 2?
Because I was really close to getting it and I was just lazy. That's it. So I've now done the base game, and now I've decided to do all the DLC, which I now realised is a really fucking grindy. I feel like it's my equivalent to your Dark Cloud, Dark Chronicle, Brandon. It's so fucking grindy. I'll play like an hour. When I go on, I'll play an hour, do what I can for an hour, and then I'll come off. It's just so fucking grindy. I thought max level was 99. It's 150. So, and I'm currently 102. No, 104 with my 6 characters, so.
At least you don't need to do that to get the platinum.
Oh, no. But I will need to get to max level to get the platinum for, to do, ev- not, oh, wait, no, sorry. No, I don't need to do do it to get the platinum, but to get all the trophies, I won't need to. But mainly just the gold trophy, because there's three DLCs. I could probably beat get the last trophy for the first one, then the other two. One I need to be 150, and I think the second one, I think if I'm 120, I can do it, I think. So there we go. Adrian's influence has already got me a trophy, a platinum trophy. As soon as I got it, I messaged her going, this is what you've done. This is what you've done to me. I finally got the platinum. And so, much to her delight. Also, I played a bit more of Octopath Traveler 2. I finally did one of the cross-path storylines. What I've realised is, I think I said this to you both of you before, but Octopath Traveler 2 is not trying to just be Octopath Traveler 1 again. And the more I play of it, the more that really is really apparent. So in Octopath Traveler 1, you had 8 storylines. In Octopath Traveler 2, you have 12 storylines. And those storylines are even split in half or into thirds. So it's ridiculous. There's so much to do. And that's good, but it is quite overwhelming. I'm really enjoying it, and I think I could probably see myself preferring it over the first one. I found out yesterday there's a whole ship traveling thing where you can design your own ship, which I was like, what the fuck? But no, I'm still really enjoying it. I like just playing a chapter every now and then. Far more digestible than Octopath Traveler 1. I think the first game was just so talky, and the second game it is still a bit like that, but it's not. It definitely gets you stuck in with the gameplay far quicker, and it's more digestible. But I said it before. If you know, it's the second. If you like the first one, but if you're not that interested in the second one, you know, the second one's not going to change your opinion on the first one. But I think it's better. Yeah. Have you got anything else?
That's literally everything I've done. Is I've seen two films, and it's like burnt my batteries out.
The last thing I've got is I read the second volume of Before Chainsaw Man. Which is the 22 to 26, I think half of these were set, he wrote before, because it's another short story collection by Tatsuki Fujimoto, and I think two of them he wrote before Fire Punch, and then two are after, I think. I'm not completely sure. But yeah, this collection was another fun read. I think I prefer the first volume of Before Chainsaw Man. Yeah, in this collection you had Mermaid, Rhapsody. The second one is Woke Up as a Girl Syndrome. The third one is Naruto of the Prophecy, and the fourth one is Sisters, which in the after I read it, it's literally the kind of like the precursor to his one shot look back, and reading it you can definitely tell that it's like it's kind of very similar and kind of linked to look back, not story wise, like the story's completely two different things, but like the content of it is similar to look back. But yeah, this volume was like I said, another fun read. It's not perfect. I think the first one's better. Mermaid Rhapsody was trying to be a mostly normal story about a guy who can play piano underwater because he's part mermaid, and then he kind of gets close to a mermaid, and it was mostly about that. It was fun. Woke Up as a Girl Syndrome, as it kind of says it was about a guy who one day wakes up as a girl. It's kind of just about that. I kind of don't really know what to make of it still. It's kind of, I don't know, it might be my least favourite of these. I think the first two of these, Mermaid Rhapsody and Girl Syndrome, were probably the worst two of these, but I enjoyed them all. I think the second two are definitely more when I think of Tatsuki Fujimoto, what I kind of expect. So, and they definitely look more like Chainsaw Man compared to the first two. The first two look more like Fire Punch. So, Naruto of the Prophecy is about Naruto who speaks nonsensical. So she'd be like bombs, violence, I don't know, other stuff like that, and she like does weird stuff. It's probably the most horror thing in this collection, since it's our horror episode. Because there's a bit where she has like magical powers and she sends loads of swords into the sky and starts killing loads of animals and stuff like that. It was a, like I said, it's all fun. And like I said, the last one, Sisters, is very similar to Look Back, where it's about sisters, where, and they both go to art school, and it's revealed that the younger sister does a portrait of the older sister naked, and it's, there's a bit of resentment, and it's a bit of like, if you ever had like a younger sibling kind of follow you doing similar things in your life, there's a bit of that. But yeah, it was a fun, I think I read it in about just about an hour. It was a fun hour read. You know, these aren't, when I look at like Chainsaw Man and even Look Back, these short story collections are fun, but they don't compare to them. But I'm glad I've read them, and I'll probably reread them at some point. They were still good, even if they are flawed at times. But yeah, I guess that's this episode's dose of my manga reading. There you go.
Well, if we're going to add in dose of the manga reading, it's probably not something I'm going to elaborate too far on. But ever since the new season of Jujutsu Kaisen has been airing, I was like, right, I'm going to start reading Jujutsu Kaisen. Have you read any of it, Dan?
I've seen all the fucking spoilers from all the latest chapters, so I know what's fucking happened in the recent chapters, because people on the internet can't just keep it in their fucking pants. I'll be honest, except for the latest chapter of Chainsaw Man, the previous two got fucking spoilt for me. I'm like, how the fuck has this happened? This never fucking happens. But I'm not surprised because of what happened in those chapters. So I'm not surprised people spoiled them for me. But I never get spoiled Chainsaw Man, so I was pretty pissed that fucking happened.
I still feel like Chainsaw Man, nothing's really happening at the moment. I'm still of that opinion. Jujutsu Kaisen, I'm really enjoying it. I say I'm really enjoying it. This current arc in it, it's called the Cullen Game. I don't know what to think of it.
Is that the latest one?
No. Well, I don't think it's the latest, because the latest is like chapter 240 or whatever. I'm still at chapter 160.
Okay.
So you've got the Shibuya Incident arc, which is what we're currently seeing in the anime.
Yeah.
And this is basically the arc afterwards, and it's basically a tournament arc, and I don't feel very invested in it. Like, a lot of changes happened just before the Cullen Game arc, but...
Well, you just said it. It's a fucking tournament arc.
It's literally a tournament arc.
Tournament arcs are a bit boring. Like, yeah, Dragon Ball, it's a bit different, because you kind of expect it with Dragon Ball, but then, like, tournament arcs are very... It's hard to, like, really do any interesting plot twists. It's like, oh, but now there's a big, I don't know, big plot twist where this character was actually evil. It's like, well, I've seen it before. It was in, like, fucking Naruto or whatever, you know. Like, all the plot twists in the tournament arc have all been done, pretty much. Yeah,
they're introducing, like, a lot of new characters. But there's just nothing really happening. Like, it's just a tournament arc. Like, first tournament arc in Jujutsu Kaisen was good when they introduced Hanami, one of the special grades. But this one's just taking the piss because it's just going on and on. And it literally... They could have just done something a lot more exciting than basically just one massive tournament arc. Like, they've just reintroduced Rika, or Yuta and Rika.
I don't know.
Yeah. I've been enjoying the Shibuya arc, but this is... dragging a bit.
The problem with me is I like Jujutsu Kaisen, but I find it goes up and down for me. Like, I've said this before to you, I know we've never spoken about Jujutsu Kaisen on the podcast, but with season one, I really liked the beginning of the season, and I really liked the end, but I found the middle was really slow and dragged, and I hated the main character being split from the other main characters. It was really frustrating, and it wasn't just for like an episode. It was like six or seven episodes, or maybe a bit longer. And it was just a bit like, can you all just come back together? Because I understand why they were split, because he was like kind of like faking his death. But it was just a bit. It was frustrating. And then as soon as they all came back together, it was like, yeah, here we go. This is great. But it was a drag.
Mm.
And even the latest the current season, just before the, not the, now it's the Shibuya arc, but the first section, all the ghetto stuff, I felt was really fast paced, and I was a bit like, the episode he turned, you could have done 3 episodes with that one episode.
Yeah, it was a very quick turn for ghetto.
Like, I think that's, I went from like, because I nearly gave it like, it went from like a 10 out of 10 episodes to like an episode that I was like, this could have just been another 3 episodes. The thing is, it's probably that quick in the manga. But then you could also be
really
like...
It genuinely was.
But then I also thought, well, you kind of have those first section, that first set of episodes that sets up his turn. But I think it was just so quick. It was just a bit like, I don't know.
Yeah, because the manga itself during that background arc was... It was literally just as is. Like, they've kept the source material literally as loyal, but you can definitely tell because in the manga it was rushed, but then obviously because it was rushed in the manga, it's now rushed in the anime.
I don't know. People like but it.
That backstory arc there was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Like, animation-wise, fucking sublime. Absolutely sublime. Like, whatever Studio Map and whatever directors they're getting to do their anime at the moment, absolutely incredible. From like Chainsaw Man to Hell's Paradise to Jujutsu Kaisen, however they're directing those episodes, incredible. So, well, do we have anything else to mention, Chris?
What's up? More horror, you say?
Do you have more horror to mention, Chris?
This is not the horror.
I do have more horror to wear. I'll pad this episode out. No, that's the wrong thing to say, isn't it?
Right, it's long enough. What more have you got to add?
All right, so very quickly. I have played the Alan Wake remaster.
Oh, yes.
I don't think I've spoke about Alan Wake on this podcast before.
No, we haven't. You planning... When's Alan Wake 2 out?
That is out on the 27th, so 3 days before this episode comes out.
Because... I know you literally mentioned remaster. I'm mentioning the second one, but I've heard interesting things about the second one where you've got two characters, obviously Alan Wake, and then you've got a female detective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually haven't seen anything about the second one. I've kept it off my radar. Well, as I tend to do with things I'm interested in, I don't want to know.
Well, sorry, I've just told you that.
That's okay. I can hazard a guess as to who it could be.
I don't really know. Anyway, Alan Wake remastered.
Yeah, so honestly, it's called Alan Wake Remastered, but all it really is when it comes to the remaster, it slapped the DLC on it and just give it a visual upgrade. Other than that, it's literally the same game. There was no difference between the original and this. Oh, apart from one thing, which I'll get into shortly. So Alan Wake is a horror writer who's quite popular. He goes to a town called Bright Falls, where the people think he's a local celebrity. He's there to take a vacation away from writing, and hijinks ensue involving novellas, shadows trying to hunt him down, and Alan's just got to survive and try and find his missing wife in the ordeal as well.
Wait.
And you know, deal with the usual.
Alan's trying to find his missing wife? Is he in Silent Hill?
Well, there's some comparisons. There's a lot of mist going around. Anyway, so combat in this game, third person, over the top shooter, kind of unlike Callisto Protocol, but you know, good. This one's good, guys, if you've not played it. I believe it's on PS Plus as well now. It is. And, it might be on Xbox Game Pass, or at least it was on Xbox Game Pass, so you've got no excuse not to play it. So, this game is, it's pretty much how you expect. Areas are sort of semi-open, there's a little bit of exploration. The game is pretty linear, it's broken down into chapters. It even does that thing, because it's from the 2010s, which was a strange thing for a little while, where it did it like a DVD, where it broke it down into chapters and then went previously on, which Resident Evil Revelations did that, and there's a few other games that did it as well, which is just a strange point in time, which I'm glad it didn't cotton on, because it's really annoying when you're playing it in one sitting. If you went away from it and you want a refresher, I can see it happening, but that should be an optional thing, not just a part of the game. When you're playing it, it's previously on 5 seconds ago. There you go. so weird. Anyway, so the main combat gimmick with this is enemies are covered in shadow and you can't hit them initially. So what you have to do is weaken them with light. So you start off with a flashlight, but then you get a sort of heavy duty one, and then you get a sort of lantern as well. You get flashbangs, which act as basically grenades. You got flares as well, which cause them to like back off and do like minimal damage. So every enemy you wear down, they've almost got like a sort of a corona around them, you know, corona of light, which sort of shrinks down as you keep the focus on them until eventually like the shadow pisses off. And then you can take them down with conventional weaponry, like your shotguns, your pistols. Yeah, it plays well. I've played this game a few times. Combat's good. If sometimes a little bit infuriating, there's one thing which is kind of annoying. If most enemies are melee based, and if you're like fighting one on one, it's fine, but the enemies can get into a habit of stun locking you and you can do nothing about it. Like you get hit by one and then another one like immediately hits you, because it's not like they back off and like fight you one at a time, they sort of like gang up on you. So you just got to watch your surroundings. So for the most part, as long as you're being careful, you're okay, but it's quite easily to be like at full health to like dead in like a few seconds if you're not careful. And the game does like feature regenerating health, so you don't have to worry about picking up stuff. So long as you like stay in the light, your health regenerates faster, which kind of also act as checkpoints as well. Although I do find like the light protects you from everything, but the darkness can easily break like light sources, but it chooses not to do it for some reason half the time. Like act as checkpoints, which seems very video gamey. It's like stay in the light to save you. Oh well, for story reasons that light's no longer there now, you've got to escape. It could have done that at any time, really. It could have done that before you got there and you'd be pretty much fucked. Yeah, I do really like this game, and I do recommend if you're a fan of survival horror, give it a whirl. It's not super long. You can finish it in about 8 hours. If you really want to go for the collectibles, there's like, I think there's like 100 coffee furnaces in the game which you can collect. There's like radios and TVs that you can find. In fact, one of the weirder things on the TVs, it plays like a sort of Twilight Zone knockoff, but like in universe, which I think Control does as well. Because Control's like, if you've played that, is like set in the same universe. Also made by Remedy Games. It's like a loose tangent. In fact, I think one of the Control DLCs has Alan Wake in it. I'm not sure if it's canon or not. I don't know. I've not played it, so couldn't say. But Alan Wake is a good game, and since it's on PS Plus, give it a go. If you want something to play this Halloween, you've not played Alan Wake yet, I recommend it. I've not really got a bad thing to say about it. It's short. It doesn't outstay its welcome. The combat's decent. The exploration's fine if you like that kind of thing. You do get awarded for exploring. Yeah, it's basically everything Callisto Protocol isn't, but in a good way. So, yeah, give Alan Wake a shot if you've not already. Let's say the remaster's out now, so it's what you're waiting for. Good game. Go play it.
Okay. Yeah. I hear... It's, like, strange to be, like, it came out over 10 years ago, though.
Yeah, well, I'd say the remaster's, what, a year old? It might be a bit older than that. I'm not sure, actually. It don't feel like 2 seconds since it came out. But at the same time, I've been meaning to play it for a while. I just wanted to see if there's, like, any difference, but once I finally got around to playing it, it's like, no, it's quite literally the same game. It just looks nicer. Oh, the one minor change, which I didn't actually mention. In the original game, it was kind of, sort of sponsored by Energizer. It makes sense, kind of. In the game, like, for your flashlights, you put like batteries in them to like restore power, because as you use them, like their energy drains, so it's just like whack a battery in to like top it up. In the remake, they're just generic batteries now. They've got rid of all the branding, which I thought is better, because I didn't think it was a very good advertisement for Energizer. Because
the batteries,
yeah, you do, and they literally last like a few seconds. And he's like, well, that's... You've just got picked up a pack of 4 AA's, which cost like a fiver each, and I've like shined a torch into them for 30 seconds. I've had to rechange your batteries like 3 times. It's not a great look, honestly.
If you're changing them that often, you should call them the Panasonic batteries.
Ooh, burn.
Well, they do die. Like, because my Xbox controller is battery powered, because I sit too far away from it to warrant a cable because of the dock as well. And I thought, okay, I'll just get some batteries. And I picked up some Panasonic batteries because they were cheap. And I was like having to change them daily, whereas now I've got like Duracell batteries and I've not changed them for like a week.
Well, there you go. Duracell on the way.
So much better. Duracell.
That bunny knows what happened. For us. That bunny knows.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the Duracell bunny does not appear in Alan Wake, but it is a bit creepy, so it wouldn't look out of place either.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else to say. I still not played Separate Ways, which I will try and play at some point.
That's better than Callisto Protocol.
Protocol just so much as Starfield.
Maybe.
No, I don't think there's anything else to say. Unless you guys have got something, I'll take us out.
Yeah, I've spooked myself out with everything I've done.
Yeah, it just feels like we're wrapping up slightly earlier than usual.
Still being like an hour and 40 minutes.
We're not, but I know it kind of feels like it. Well, you know where to find us on social media, with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and you know where to listen to us on all your podcast platforms, like Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Amazon and Audible and many other. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. These boys will be streaming Halloween stuff at the moment, probably.
Well, we say Halloween stuff. Obviously, after at the time of recording, I've taken a leaf out of Chris's book and I set my followers like a goal of 100,000 channel points, and I'm going to be doing fucking Peppa Pig.
Why does everyone keep nicking my idea? Somebody else did Peppa Pig as well. I was like, copying me.
I just thought it was genius. So I thought, okay, you've given me inspiration. So I thought, what's more, I'll just do Peppa Pig. And I've set myself a challenge of I'm not allowed to stream anything else until I 100% it.
The thing is, obviously your next one is Doki Doki Literature Club. And that's actually a good game.
Yeah, you're in for a treat.
Yes, well, I'm sure I'll talk about that at some point.
Obviously, your first playthrough will be very awkward, and then from there,
If I can do Paw Patrol, I'm pretty sure I can do Doki Doki Literature.
Well, with Doki Doki Literature Club, you'll need to do multiple playthroughs. That's what I'll tell you.
I'll do whatever I can do in 3 hours.
Well, I don't know how long it takes to do a playthrough in Doki Doki, so I don't know. But to get the why it's so, you definitely need to at least beat the game once and start it again, just to let you know.
New game plus.
Yeah, we'll definitely need to do new game plus.
I'll try and treat it with the same mindset as I have with Lies of P, since I've been beating that in new game plus.
Yeah,
because that's a good game.
Well, obviously these two, you can follow their social media links. In all of these links are in our episode description, as always. They've never left, you know. What else you guys got to say? I know what I could ask you two. What are you dressing up as for Halloween?
It's a
secret. Be honest.
Actually, no, I can tell you.
By the time this episode's out, it'll be a day before Halloween.
Yeah, I'll be done. All right, then, fine. It's not really a costume, but honestly, I've got a Snorlax onesie.
There you go.
I'm not dressing up as anything because I'll be at work.
Yeah, but you're not doing anything on the weekend.
Oh, on the weekend? No, don't think I'm doing anything. Might be taking my dog for a walk, I guess.
Are you not going to a party or anything?
As far as I'm aware, I don't think so. Huh. No, just no life thing. Just staying at home, being, just chilling.
Well,
if anything, I'll be in my birthday suit if I have a bath. That's quite terrifying.
Well, I am planning to go as Naked Snake or Big Boss.
Naked Snake?
Yes, Naked Snake or Big Boss from Metal Gear Solid 3. Yes, his name is actually, his code name is Naked Snake.
I thought you were just saying Naked Snake just because you're going to be dressing up as Snake and just literally being naked.
No, his code name in Metal Gear Solid 3 is Naked Snake.
Okay, I am educated now.
It's a lot easier to do in the costume of, I want to say his name's Johnny, the one who has the shits all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just hide in the toilet for several hours. There you go. Easy Halloween costume.
Yeah, one of the funniest characters, and still gets with Meryl at the end of 4.
It's just like one of my Japanese animes.
Yep, I bought the eye patch the other day. I'm going in to do some shopping on Saturday, hopefully get the rest of it. It's either that
If you can find a headband which gives you unlimited ammo, let me know. Sounds like it might come in handy.
I've already got a bandana, so I'm probably going to use that. But if it all fails, what I'll do, because I've got loads of facial hair at the moment, I'll shave off my beard and just keep my moustache, and then I'll get my Mario suit out.
Or just try to put some Revolver Ross a lot when he's on.
Could do that.
You know, Mario.
But Mario. Yeah. Well, if there's nothing else more to say, you'll hear us soon. Say something interesting, Brandon.
I am still of the opinion after the Science Festival that I am not destined to have kids because they do my fucking head in. Sometimes. Nah. They're a cute bunch. They're a good bunch, but they do spook me out a little bit sometimes.
There we are. The true horror of Halloween. Children.
probably the true horror is that I'm the only one who wants children out of the three of us then.
Actually, that's not true. I want kids.
Oh, I
someone to do my bidding and look after me when I'm old.
You know what? I shouldn't have assumed that. I'm sorry, Chris. I should not have assumed that.
So, all right, if I'm going to have a kid, I'm going to invoice them when they turn 18, and I'm going to be like, all right, you owe me all this. I need return on investment here. Like, if I'm giving them up 18 years of my life to rear them up, then they need to pay back.
Well, the problem with me is I'm a single Pringle, but I'm ready to mingle.
Never say that again.
Say it all the fucking time.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.